Welcome to Asia Focus on HCJB World Radio, Melbourne, Australia. We invite you to join us for the next half hour as we focus on Asia. And now, here are your hosts, Ty Six and Eric Scadabo.
Thank you, Susan. I'm Eric Scadabo.
And I'm Ty Six.
Welcome to this week's edition of Asia Focus. And coming up on this week's program, last week we had a conversation with Ralph Kurtenbach and Sheila. They were talking about her trip to Pakistan to help out victims of the October 8th earthquake. We'll find out more about her experiences in Pakistan later on in today's program. Also, we have a Daylight Christian Profile with Grant James this week. We'll be learning about a missionary to Vietnam. And Ty, you have this week's Christian Asian News.
Right. We'll look at the largest seminary graduation in history. Took place in India, and also some news from the recovery efforts still going on after 2004 tsunami up in Indonesia, and a whole lot more.
Okay. And also, if you were listening last week, you know that we ran out of time. We wanted to play Pastor Wallach's song, Every Time I Pray, and we just ran out of time. So we promised that we would play it this week, but as an added bonus, not only will we play the song, I called up Pastor Wallach, and he will tell us a little bit about the song and a little bit about his ministry. So that's coming up on this week's edition of Asia Focus. Joining me on the telephone from Kuala Lumpur is Pastor Wallach. Welcome once again to Asia Focus.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Glad to have you on the program again. Last time, I believe we caught you right in the middle of eating lunch. Was that right?
Yeah, I was having lunch in the restaurant in Subangja, yeah.
Well, sorry about that. Now we've got you before lunch, is that right?
Yeah, it's before lunch. It's about 11 o'clock now.
So things are a little quieter now, so that's good. Well, the reason why we wanted to talk to you is because last week on the program, we were going to play your classic song, Every Time I Pray, but unfortunately we ran out of time. So this week we're going to start the program playing your song, but we thought it would be an added bonus if we actually talked to you. Please tell us about this song, Every Time I Pray.
Well, this song has a very, very, very interesting history behind it. In fact, it was written in 1981. That's about nearly like 25 years ago. And we had just planted a church called Full Gospel Tabernacle. And the church was really very poor at the time, just about 30 people. And we were so poor that we actually were sitting on the floor, you know. So I was just a very young musician still studying, and so somehow this song just came about, and I wrote the song. It's a prayer song. And so in the last 25 years, you know, we have been singing this song as a prayer to the Lord. And every time I pray, I move the hand of God. My prayer does the things that my hands cannot do. And it's been very interesting because from Turkey, then the church has now grown to like 1,700 people.
Mm.
It's become a very big church. You know, and from sitting on the floor, we now have a huge hall now. You can see 2,000 people and properties worth maybe like 10, 15 million ringgit, you know. So God has been a really blessed church. And one of the foundational things of the church is that it has really been built on prayer.
That's fantastic. Okay, we're going to listen to your song, Every Time I Pray, in just a moment. But first, tell us a little bit about your background. How did you get into music?
I think basically I'm a worship leader. This song just come to me as I, you know, because I've been serving the church and as a worship leader. So sometimes when I see the things are happening, what God does in the church, so God speaks to me, gives me a particular phrase, you know, like maybe every time I pray or maybe like healing water flows or she moves the feet to dance, you know. So from these phrases, the things that I see, I develop an idea and I work on it, and sometimes after a couple of weeks, I write a song on it, you know. So very interestingly, that song, every time I pray, even though when I wrote it, it was like, you just 30 people, and it just spread by itself, and also it was translated to Mandarin,
mm-hmm.
and recorded by the American Chinese and the Taiwanese, and so the song flooded the Mandarin people all over the world. So interestingly, even though I wrote it in English, but actually it's a Mandarin version, which is really well known and sung very commonly in a lot of churches in China.
Wow, that's fantastic. I imagine as a songwriter, that's everyone's dream. As a Christian songwriter, that you will write something that will bring people closer to God.
Yes, I think every songwriter's dream is that his song is sung by as many people, and people's lives are changed, you know. So I suppose one of the blessings I get is that I get a lot of emails from strangers telling me that they've been blessed by the song. So that's just something very interesting.
Wow, that's fantastic. Now, you are the principal of, what is the name of your seminary?
Tsung Ling Seminary.
And that's in Kuala Lumpur as well?
Yes, yeah. I've been, I'm trained as an engineer. I worked, I graduated in an engineering degree in the University of Malaya. Then I worked for like 11 years as an engineer. And mm-hmm. then in 1999, God called me up full-time. So I came out full-time as a church pastor. In the church, Full Gospel Tabernacle. At the same time, we are also hosting the Tsung Ling Seminary in the church building. So I also took up the position as the principal of the seminary. So I'm doing a couple of things, you know.
Wow.
So music is actually basically only a hobby, and so as a song comes, God gives me a song, I just sort of write it out, you know.
So God is using your gifts.
I think so, and I hope so.
And do your students sing your songs as well?
Most so much of the Tsung Ling students, they do sing some of the songs. More of the church sings a lot of the songs over the years, you know. Some of them have become like a part and parcel of the church. So in fact, we are celebrating our 25th anniversary now, this mm-hmm. year, in fact, in February. And we are doing the songs all about, you know, quite a lot of the songs that we have sung. And I think I've given you the CD, so you can hear some of them. The testimonies are there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's part of the church life, and you know, we've been singing them all these years.
That's wonderful. Now, as the principal of the school, if you tell them to sing a song, I guess they have to, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I written, like, Shining Stars is the graduation song.
Mm-hmm.
The song in the second album, yeah, is really for their graduation.
Okay, well, without any further ado, let's listen to the classic Every Time I Pray by Pastor Wallach.
For every time I pray, I move the hand of God. My prayer does the things my hands cannot do. For every time I pray, the mountains are removed, the paths are made straight, and nations turn to you. I will come to you in prayer. I will seek your face. Stand within the gap, there will I intercede. For every time I pray, I move the hand of God. My prayer does a thing my hands cannot do. With your gracious hand,
Pastor Wallach's song, Every Time I Pray, right here on HCJB World Radio, Melbourne, Australia. And if you'd like to learn more about Pastor Wallach's music and about music, Christian music, that is, in Malaysia, you can go to his website. It's www.tabernaclemusic.net. That's www.tabernaclemusic.net. You're listening to Asia Focus right here on HCJB World Radio, Melbourne, Australia. Next, as Asia Focus continues, Ty Stakes has this week's Christian Asian News.
Thanks, Eric. The coast of Indonesia is still being rebuilt after the December 2004 tsunami, and survivors continue to deal with emotional and spiritual loss. In response, Back to the Bible launched a new radio station in November in North Sumatra, one of the worst hit areas. The station was built through relief funds that came into Back to the Bible after the tsunami hit. Several programs are being aired, including a live call-in program. In the future, Aceh language programming will be added to reach the hard-hit and spiritually needy area of Banda Aceh. The message of hope is resonating with listeners, many of whom write asking difficult questions. Response to the radio ministry has nearly tripled since its inception in November. We'll be back with more news after this.
This is God's Newsword.
I am not ashamed to proclaim the good news about Christ. God has initiated a powerful plan to rescue everyone who trusts in Him, no matter where we're from. This good news tells us how God makes us right in His sight. It is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life.
God's Newsword is a production of HCJB Australia.
You're listening to Asia Focus on HCJB World Radio, Melbourne, Australia. This month, Hope Givers International will preside over an event in India that could be the world's largest seminary graduation. A record-breaking class of more than 10,000 students, most of them Dalits, will receive their diplomas as they graduate from Hope Givers Seminary program. Graduates will receive a bicycle and a one-way train ticket to their first missionary assignment. Hope Givers President Samuel Thomas says graduates emerge with new spiritual status, elevated by the gospel. He says they are no longer untouchables, but have become assets to the entire nation, to the needy of every caste, creed, and religion. I'm Ty Stakes, reporting for Asia Focus.
Thank you, Ty. As Asia Focus continues, next we have this week's Daylight Christian Profile with Grant James.
Four decades ago, back in 1968 in Vietnam, Henry Blood died. Henry was a Christian missionary, and no ordinary missionary, but a Christian missionary with the renowned Wycliffe Bible translators. 9 years before, Henry had gone to Vietnam with his wife in order to translate the Bible into the Hmong language. He labored on behalf of the Hmong people, hoping to give them the opportunity of reading about the love of God for themselves. However, in the interim, in the time between Henry's arrival in Vietnam and his death, the war in Vietnam had escalated. The United States had entered it, and by early 1968, the communist Viet Cong guerrillas had launched an assault directly upon ill-protected Western establishments. The Christian-run leper hospital where Henry and his family served the Vietnamese was one such target. As the fighting grew dangerously close to the hospital and the missionaries, Henry calmly, peacefully, took his Bible and went out to the back step to read. The communists had a long reputation, even at the hospital, for killing missionaries. Yet Henry, apparently in perfect peace, simply sat down to read the assuring words that he had come to Vietnam to bring to the Hmong. Shortly thereafter, the communist guerrillas attacked, several missionaries were killed, and Henry, among others, was taken hostage. Nearly 6 months later, having been dragged through the jungle in chains, having been kept in a cage, having suffered starvation and disease, Henry too expired. In his 9 years as a missionary in Vietnam, Henry Blood only ever led one Hmong man to the saving knowledge of Christ. However, by living for others and dying in peace, Henry left the world the example of Christ. Henry Blood, another bright ray of sun-sent daylight.
You're listening to Asia Focus. I'm Eric Scadavo.
And I'm Ty Stakes.
And last week on the program, we heard a conversation with Ralph Kurtenbach and Sheila from HCJB World Radio's hospital in Quito, Ecuador. She went to Pakistan to help out victims of the earthquake. That earthquake was last October 8th, and she was in Pakistan along with another team from HCJB World Radio who went there in November and early December. Here now is more of that conversation, Ralph Kurtenbach and Sheila.
What are the needs as we talk about Pakistan? The quake happened October 8th. You saw needs in mid-November through early December. What are the needs?
The needs at this point, I think, are for shelter for those people, particularly in it's estimated that about 80,000 people probably died in that earthquake, and they're thinking that maybe 80,000 more will die as a result of the winter in those areas. So there's a need for shelter, there's a need for food, there's a need for protection. There's a tremendous need for prayer for the Pakistani people. Many of our patients would come in and just cry. And the symptoms they would describe are stress-related symptoms. Palpitations, unable to sleep, unable to eat. Quite natural considering a disaster of that magnitude. Many of the people we met had lost children, had lost family members. Breakdown of structure, family structure, children who've been made homeless, children who've been orphaned. We found a child whose parents had been killed. So the incredible needs in that country, physical needs, emotional needs, and of course spiritual needs too.
Personally, what were your expectations before leaving, and were those expectations, did they play out the way you thought?
My expectations before leaving, we had reports back from the first team, and we knew that it was an ever-changing situation. And certainly when we arrived in Islamabad, it was for a couple of days, we really didn't know where we were going to be, what we were going to be doing, how we were best going to be used, and a lot of uncertainty. So my expectations were not great. We wanted to be willing to be used. And I think I always had the secret longing to go to areas that aid had not reached yet. And that actually panned out for us, and we were able to go to an area where nobody else had been. So I think we were useful in that area.
Anything else you can say about the kind of work you did in that particular area?
Yes, we actually were in tents and seeing up to about 100 patients a day between. We only saw female patients and children in our tent. We had a female doctor, female nurse. We just saw female patients, and the other tent was the male tent. Some of our patients came and sat, and when they took off their burqa, and they just cried. They just wept and told us their stories. And at times, well, what can you do when somebody's lost their children, they've lost their home, they're having palpitations, they can't sleep, they can't eat? Yes, we can give vitamins. Yes, we can give something to help them sleep for a few nights. Yes, we can give them something for the aches and pains that they're feeling because they're sleeping on the ground in a tent and they're suffering from cold. But what about the spiritual pain? What about the hurt in the heart and spirit, the sense of loss, bereavement, separation and grief? And for that, we just asked if we could pray with them, and we would take these women's hands and just ask the God of all comfort to comfort their hearts.
As a medical group from a hospital that is Christian in its origins here in Ecuador, did you feel welcome in an overwhelmingly Muslim country of Pakistan?
I think we felt very welcome by the Pakistani people. The overwhelming character trait that I witnessed was incredible hospitality. Incredible hospitality. They're very hospitable people.
The Pakistan Army also sponsored a Thanksgiving meal for you.
That's right. On the day that we'd hiked up the mountain, our physician on the team had mentioned the Thanksgiving Day. And when we got back from that long hike that day, they had put on a banquet and gave him an opportunity to share what Thanksgiving means, what it's about, what is the history of that that festival. So that was a very special day for us all.
Other observations on the culture of Pakistan, the music, the food?
Yes, well, obviously it's a nation that is fanatical about cricket. And everybody knew what the test match scores were, even though we were in the middle of nowhere because Pakistan was playing England and beat England in the test match. So I would get regular updates from the captain, who would come and gleefully tell me how many of the English batsmen were out. So that was a lot of fun, and that impressed me about Pakistan. It's a nation of cricket players. It's just amazing. So I enjoyed that little banter with them, and I'm kind of glad that Pakistan won. So that was fun. The music, we were very privileged in the army camp, obviously, that we were two women on the team. We were the only women in the camp. We were the only women anywhere around, apart from the patients who were out in the hills. And in the evenings, because it was so freezing cold, sometimes they would build a bonfire, and the army people, personnel, would sit around the bonfire. And they would talk and they would ask questions. And one of our physicians is from Ecuador, and so they were asking, how do you say this in Spanish? How do you say this in Urdu? How do you say this in English? And there was a real good rapport between us. And one evening we were there and they were talking, and then they began to sing. And the men began to sing, and beautiful voices. One of the men particularly had a fabulous voice. And we were just so privileged to be sitting out there under the stars listening to this haunting melody as he was singing songs about being a soldier far from home and doing his duty and being separated from family. And then some of the men danced as well, and that was just amazing to see that, be part of that. I never dreamed that I would ever kind of be in an inner circle of Pakistanis sharing with them at that level. So that was tremendous. The food, I love spicy hot food. I did get sick while I was there, so there were days when I didn't kind of enjoy the food. But a lot of chapatis, a lot of goat meat, a lot of potatoes and stuff like that. And we really just shared what the army gave us and enjoyed that. And of course, chai, which is the tea with the milk and sugar all boiled in together. That was ubiquitous. Everywhere we went, we were offered chai.
Within a short span of time, Hospital Los Andes here in Quito sent two teams to Pakistan to help quake victims. There was an earlier team that went to Indonesia not so long ago. What about additional teams from Hospital Los Andes leaving for various other points unknown?
We definitely have seen that disaster relief is something that we need to be involved in. And when opportunities present, we do have personnel, we have people prepared, and we've seen on these opportunities how God can use a very small, well-equipped, well-prepared team that's easily deployable. And so we definitely will be looking to the future to become available in disaster situations, obviously looking at those kind of things that we need to respond to and some things that we don't. We can't respond to everything. The exciting thing about these two teams, and what has been an incredible encouragement and blessing to us here, was that these teams were made up of Ecuadorian physicians as well as expatriates. Our Ecuadorian women that went on the second team, as we went to the consul here, we were told they were the first Ecuadorian women that he had ever given visas to. They may well have been the first Ecuadorian women ever to go to Pakistan, which is absolutely amazing.
Anything you'd like to add, Sheila?
I think I've said it all. It was an incredible experience. It was an incredible privilege, and we were just glad to be on the spot at that time, and I think we all learned a lot.
Our thanks to Sheila, part of the Hospital Los Andes medical team that went to Pakistan to help quake victims.
Thank you, Ralph Kurtenbach, for sending us that interview from our office in Quito, Ecuador. And that was really something to hear about the situation over there in Pakistan. Even though it's been a couple months since the earthquake, still people are suffering from that.
Yeah, I mean, we're in the middle of winter now. I'm sure the situation hasn't improved. And I don't know when they'll expect relief up in the Himalayas from winter. It should be April or May, so we've got quite a stretch ahead of us. I haven't seen many news reports either, really, on the situation in Pakistan right now. But I'm sure that the need for shelter, food, medical care is still there. And it's certainly a matter we can continue to pray about.
Mm-hmm. So our hearts go out to all those people who are suffering from the aftereffects of that earthquake in Pakistan. And we, of course, encourage everybody to pray for that situation. And we thank Sheila and other people from HCJB World Radio and other physicians from different ministries and different non-government organizations who have gone there to help out. I think it was greatly needed. Well, thank you so much for listening to this week's edition of Asia Focus. We invite you to join us again next time. Until then, I'm Eric Scatabo.
And I'm Ty Stakes.
Saying so long.
And God bless.
You've been listening to Asia Focus on HCJB World Radio, Melbourne, Australia. If you have any questions or comments regarding today's program, please write to us. Our email address is english@hcjb.org.au. And our mailing address is HCJB World Radio, GPO Box 691, Melbourne 3001, Australia. We invite you to join us again next week at the same time for Asia Focus.